Hey, everybody. I'm Hal Eisner. This is What the Hal, and this is a serious one. This is one that, you know, is really important to listen to hear, maybe to share with your friends, because there are teen suicide prevention phone lines, but a lot of people don't really want to call a line, so what they prefer to do is chat. And here in Los Angeles, an app has been developed and put out there in the app stores for teens to be able to reach out to other teens through the app, to text, to chat, and kind of get past that problem they may have with talking with somebody on the phone. It can be just as effective. But what about the teens on the other end of that app? Who are they? How are they trained? You're about to find out. Let me have you introduce yourselves. Let's start with Sophie.
Hi.
I'm Sophie. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Sophie. I'm 17 years old.
Okay. What grade are you in?
I'm in 11th grade.
Where do you go to school?
I go to SOSIS.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to do sports medicine.
See all these questions? They just come
very fast.
Yeah. What about you, Zach?
All right. I'm Zach Mitchell. I'm 16, and I have the pleasure to be a teen talk advisor.
Okay. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be an investment banker.
You said that to me earlier, and I still can't get my head around that. That's really something. An investment banker.
Yes, sir.
Is your dad an investment banker?
No, sir.
No? No. Well, where'd you get the idea to be that?
Well, I'm a big fan of Mark Cuban and these big high CEOs that I look up to. And my mom is in the financial analyst kind of field right now, and I'm leaning towards becoming that, and I'm interested in that field, so...
Are you going to be the next Mark Cuban?
I don't know. I have dreams to be.
Wow. We heard it here first, folks, right here. Go ahead.
My name is Amine Hassan. I'm 16, and I go to Agora High School. And I don't really know what I want to be when I grow up, because I'm just trying to figure things out right now.
You know what? There's no rush. There's really no rush. And so let's move around the table.
Hi, I'm Michelle Carlson. I'm the executive director for TeenLine.
And? Let's get Ashley in here as well.
And I'm Ashley Waterman, and I'm the Director of Community Engagement at Jewish Big Brothers Big Sisters of Los Angeles.
Well, let's start with Ashley, since you got the mic right there.
Great.
And tell us what this new app is. Kind of an unusual sort of thing, isn't it?
Yes. So Teen Talk was born out of a partnership between Jewish Big Brothers Big Sisters and TeenLine. And it is a free, anonymous iPhone app where teens can get support from trained teens. And it's really a response to research that shows teens prefer to communicate electronically. And when they're in need, they go to their fellow peers.
All right. Well, let's talk about that for a second. And let me ask Zach, why is that you guys don't like to pick up phones? You'd rather chat or use an app or be online?
I feel just basically because it's so accessible. I mean, everyone has a cell phone these days, so you can just pick it up and it's always on you. So
yeah, but I think my question really is more about comfort. Mm-hmm. Because I like talking on the phone. Mm-hmm. But I get the impression that a lot of kids would rather not talk on
yeah,
the phone.
Because there's a kind of a big stigma for teenagers. We're not supposed to have these problems, and people kind of shelter it. So I feel like Teen Talk is a good bridge.
But it's just not problems. I mean, kids don't really like to talk on the phone at all, do they?
No, not really, because it's more intimidating, I guess.
Is it? You feel intimidated when you talk on the phone?
I mean, I personally don't. I prefer talking on the phone. But a lot, I've noticed like it's a kind of phenomenon that most teens like to talk about the problems through text.
Sophie, Amelie, do either of you feel intimidated when you talk on the phone, or do you like talking on the phone? I used to talk on the phone for hours. I still do. I love talking on the phone.
Well, I feel like talking on the phone is not, it's not about like the accessibility or anything like that. I feel like it's more about you can talk to more people at once. It's like a conference call, but you're texting.
But there's no awkwardness or discomfort on talking on the phone.
Yeah.
It just seems like kids have an allergic reaction to talking on the phone.
Well, I mean, with texting, you think before you speak, like you know, you can
say that again now. With texting, you think before you speak?
Yeah, you can text everything out. You know, you can edit it. When you talk on the phone, whatever you say.
You know what that sounds like? It sounds like what you're saying is that you won't make mistakes if you text, where you might say something wrong if you talk.
Well, there's less of a chance that you'll say something wrong if you're texting than if you're on the phone.
It's interesting. I've said plenty of wrong things on the phone in conversations, and yet I'm still here. You know, nothing's happened to me, and I'm not sure I understand that thinking. Emily? Do you talk on the phone?
I do talk on the phone.
Are you like me? Are you a blabbermouth?
Yeah, definitely.
I can talk. Really? No, I can talk for hours.
No, I love talking.
Yeah.
But I feel like on Teen Talk, it's just easier because you have a screen in front of you.
Well, no, that I understand. We haven't gotten to Teen Talk yet. I'm just talking about
texting. Yeah. Just in general. But, like, in general, texting, I feel like when you're on the phone, you are kind of vulnerable because, like, people can hear your voice. And, like, if you mess up, then they can hear that. Or, like, you, as Sophie said, you can say something that you don't want to say. But as, like, if you're texting, you can delete what you said. Or, like, you're not as vulnerable. So it can really be interpretive in different ways.
I want to ask the older, younger people. Did you like that? I want to ask the older, younger people. Isn't that weird to hear? I mean, we grew up at a time when we didn't have smartphones. We grew up at a time when we had phones. And then we got clamshells. And then we got other kinds of cell phones. But we weren't, they were dumb phones. They weren't smartphones. And we talked to people. And, you know, we found a few minutes to say, hey, how you doing? What's going on? How's your day going on? And we heard the voice connected to the phone, not just the words. And you know, hearing somebody's voice, now, this is just the way I look at it. Hearing somebody's voice and hearing the inflection, hearing the sincerity, hearing the sense of humor, hearing the sense of sadness. Well, that's what talking on the phone is all about. And when you text, you take away the things I just said. They just, boom, they're gone. And you have none of that anymore. And how do you see that? I know you're only 21. Go ahead.
Bless you. For, you know, for a listener, for like someone who's listening to the conversation, that's great, right? You want to hear that inflection of voice, the change in emotion, what's going on, because it gives you a better sense of how that person's really feeling, right? The full picture. But I think, you know, for anyone, particularly teens, being able to reach out via like text or apps, it feels safer. Right?
And so safer. And so you can't grow up in life just feeling safer. You have to be able to talk to other people. Do you think in a way that not being able to talk on the phone, not wanting to talk on the phone, creates distance between people as opposed to bringing people together? We're not talking about the app yet. We're talking about in general.
I can't speak for the teens
no,
here, but
I definitely hear
from teens, you know, that we're so connected, right? Because social media allows us to do that and our digital devices, but yet sometimes feel so disconnected, right? Just having that actual connection. And I think that's what's amazing what they're doing, and they'll talk about it later with Teen Talk,
being able to connect. Let me ask you this. I mean, you know, when I have a lot of people in my social media circles, you know, thousands, because I'm so popular. Not really. But there are thousands and thousands of people that I interact with on various times, various days, whatever. And I don't know what they sound like. Some of them, I don't even know what they look like. You know, I see a picture, and it's probably the best picture they ever took. And maybe they're very different in their appearance now. And maybe their voice is very deep or very high. I don't know. You know, but the thing is, we don't know a lot about each other when we don't use our voice. Is that true?
Yes. I mean, absolutely. I think talking on the phone is a bit of a dying art, and it's just become that, you know, like the teen said, people are more guarded in general, and talking on the phone is more intimate. I also think, too, that there's just so many distractions out there, and with technology in general, I remember being a teenager and laying in my bed and talking on the phone. I didn't have a TV in my room. I didn't have a computer. I didn't have a smartphone where I could, you know, text, Snapchat, read the news, everything at once, so we were more focused. So with more options, there's amazing things that come with technology, but it definitely, you know, just changes the way we communicate.
Well, I came from a time when we used hieroglyphics. I had stones and chisels, and I used to, you know, write into the stones. That brings us to the app, though, because you can't always get kids in trouble to call on the phone. And so what you've done is to try to come up with a way to meet them halfway, to find them in their comfort place. And that's what this app is all about, right?
Absolutely. The idea is that anyone, anywhere that is having a challenge or just even, you know, a thought and they want feedback, or they're just feeling lonely, that they can, you know, have real-time access to a teen, but to a trained teen who they know is going to, you know, listen to them, give them kind advice, not be judgmental. The app is monitored also by supervisors, and our teens have received a lot of training, so they're incredibly empathetic and they're kind, and I think that that eliminates a lot of the barriers of when you put yourself out there on other outlets that aren't monitored, you don't know what kind of responses you're going to get.
So let me get back to the teens, because I think I'd like to hear a little bit about the training. I mean, you're high school students, you're trying to learn your reading, writing, and arithmetic, right? You're trying to get yourself a degree so you can go to college and become, you know, an investment banker or whatever. And so you've got a lot on your plate already. So you spend a few hours a day trying to help people, and you're doing it in a place where, in a Snapchat society, they're more comfortable. Do you find that this works better than talking to somebody, using an app and being able to chat in that fashion, Emily?
I personally love talking to someone in person.
You make me feel so much better now.
But, like, everyone's different. So if there's a kid who isn't comfortable talking to someone and he just or she just wants to talk on the phone, like texting, I think that it just depends on what works for you.
But that's the point. If there are kids in trouble, if there are kids that are anxious, stressed, have gender issues, have bullying problems, have any kind of number of things that go on in our world, and they don't want to call on the phone, they can chat. And this gives them now another avenue to be able to try to deal with their... Look, the bottom line is they are reaching out for help, right?
Yeah. Definitely. I feel like Teen Talk is a great compromise to get the kids who are maybe not so confident to come forward and actually communicate their problems with Teen Talk advisors like myself.
Well, you know, kids, they can be very shy. They can be very withdrawn.
Mm-hmm.
If you're depressed a lot, you may not want to reach out and have a conversation using your voice. And so, Sophie, I mean, when that happens and they use those words... Are you thinking about that? Are you thinking about the fact this kid on the other end of the line may be very withdrawn and troubled and needing your help?
Well, I feel like a lot of kids who have been bullied have like self-confidence issues and they have lots of social anxiety. So I feel like talking on the phone may not be an option for them that will make them feel safe. So if a kid has social anxiety, texting may be the only way that they can kind of hide behind the screen and feel like they're in a safe environment.
Now, I've had issues from time to time with anonymity on social media. Some people use that anonymity to be mean to other people. Sometimes they get into some political craziness. Sometimes they say ugly things because they're anonymous. They may not even be using their real name. But here's an example of where anonymity actually may work. And you've had many, many people. I think the number that I was quoted earlier was about 2,400 downloads and somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe 1,900 actual posts in just 3 months. Since this started, and you've got this kind of activity. And so when you go to work and you do this, and is this volunteer, first of all?
Yes, it is.
You don't get paid anything for doing this?
No.
So when you do this, when you go to work, what's your mindset?
My mindset is... take one step at a time and see what you can do to help your community and help your fellow peers.
Do you always think about that?
100%.
Because if you don't think about that, you could get in trouble with the other person. Not in trouble in the sense of a problem, but not getting the help to them that they might need.
No, I feel like being a Teen Talk advisor, it definitely takes a clear and level head to actually communicate your problems, because you don't want to carry your own personal difficulties onto somebody else. So I feel like if you have that clear head, you should avoid different situations that could...
I want to hear some of the examples of things that you've heard or gotten through these chats. And we can start with Sophie, but I think what I want to understand is the depth of despair.
Well, I think we get like a variety of different posts on the app. It can be something small, like a fight, or, you know, someone that's had a really, really tough time recently and is thinking about committing suicide. But I think going back to like what we were talking about earlier, I think that when a kid is posting on the app, there's clearly, you know, there's something going on. So even if they just post, hey, how do I use this app? There's something that they want to talk about that maybe they didn't originally post.
Do you, Emily, do you have to draw it out of them sometimes?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
How do you do that?
Like, well, as Sophie said, everyone has, like, a story. And so when someone, like, says, like, oh, like, I'm having relationship problems with my mom. And then you'll talk about that and you'll understand what brought this about. And then they'll start to share, like, oh, well, like, my mom's being abusive, or, like, my dad walked out on us and this is what's happening. Or, like, it's like you always uncover something because nothing is really, like, skin deep. Like, it's all just, there's, like, a lot of stuff.
What's the most dramatic thing you've heard? Oh, I guess I shouldn't say heard, that you've seen.
Well, one time a girl reached out to me and she said that she had leukemia and that she was happy about it. And that was really hard for me to hear. And I responded and I was like, well, first of all, what do you say to that, to a kid who has leukemia? You can't heal them. Like, no words are going to help that situation. So I was like, I'm like, obviously, like, I'm so sorry. And like, it just, it's really terrible. And especially when she wasn't feeling good about herself. So when I gave her, it was like, sometimes when someone's going through as much as you are, they can have thoughts of suicide. And, like, is this something you've thought about? Because we're not supposed to fray away from the word suicide. We're supposed to ask them. And usually people tell us, like, yes, no. And when I first got into the app, I thought people wouldn't tell us because they don't want help. But people actually, like, want help.
They reach out.
Yeah.
They're reaching out for help. What's the word you use instead of suicide? What is it?
We're allowed to say the word suicide.
You are allowed to
we're
say
We're supposed to say
we
the
embrace
words.
That word.
Yeah.
You embrace it, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, because I know that sometimes we watch the language and some of these sort of lines to sort of not complicate the conversation any more than it's
exactly.
already complicated. You know, I guess I'm sort of wondering on a personal level, when you have a conversation that's particularly difficult. Now, I'm going to stay with you, Emily. When you have a conversation that's particularly difficult, you take that home? You take it to bed? You take it to sleep?
Well,
get up the next morning and feel about it?
That was one of the things that me and my mom, when I first applied, were really worried about, because I don't want to carry the stress of that and having that like, you're like, you know, you don't know if that person's okay at the end of the message, because you can't keep up with them because your shift ends at 10 o'clock. And so what I do is I try to, like what Zach said, you get into a mindset and you become this super empathizing person. But then afterwards, I try to just like calm it down and either talk to my supervisor and that we'll just talk like a mini therapy session. It's like amazing. Or like I'll talk to my mom or like talk to my sister. I'll like watch a funny movie or like a funny TV show.
Because if you didn't do all of that, you might end up needing to ask for help.
Yeah, definitely. Like I've broken down many times.
You have? Real tears?
Yeah, real tears. Yeah. Because when I first started Teen Talk training, I met all these amazing kids and I didn't think they had any problems because they all seemed so perfect. But then throughout the training, we like understood who they were as people and all the struggles that they've gone through. And then that was on suicide day and so much came out.
Suicide day being the day that you are trained and learn about how to deal with people who have suicidal tendencies.
Yeah, exactly. And that was a really heavy day and I went home and I was just a mess. I didn't know why I was a mess. I didn't know why I was crying so much. I didn't know why I was taking it so much. I didn't understand how much an emotional toll it took on me, and I didn't realize how powerful my emotions were and how other people's emotions could affect me. So I went home that day and I was just crying, and then I just fell asleep because like that's all I knew how to do. And then I realized I needed to like face it and cope with it. So I talked to my mom and I talked to Cheryl, my supervisor, and we worked it out and I continued training. So I'm really proud of myself for doing that.
I'm proud of you, too.
Thank you.
I got to tell you, I mean, you know, look, I can relate. I, as a news reporter, you know, I see a lot of awful things. I've gone to an awful lot of places that aren't very pretty. Columbine High School, Las Vegas after the mass shooting. There have been a lot of things that I've seen and had to deal with. I take it home. Now, oftentimes, I feel, in order not to be vulnerable, I put kind of a distance between me and the story, and it's almost like a shield that I try to create. So I'm like in a bleacher, and I'm kind of watching it, absorbing it, understanding it, trying to take down the information so I can share it with everybody else and let them know what it is that I experience. But I'm not a rock. Mm-hmm. I'm a human being just like you are. And so I'm affected by those things. And, you know, I have successfully over the years managed not to let myself get into a deep depression over any of it. But I will tell you, there have been times that I've cried over things.
Yeah.
And it's hard. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're dealing in an interface with people that may have a wish not to live, may have a discomfort because they can't talk to anybody about the fact they'd like to come out of the closet, mm-hmm. and so they feel caught and trapped. When you talk to somebody who can't talk to their own parents, it's got to be tough, you know? Mm-hmm. And when you absorb that like a sponge, somehow you either have to get rid of it, you have to protect yourself with some kind of an invisible shield, mm-hmm. or you have to deal with it like Emily deals with it.
Yeah, I find myself doing quite similar, like in the same fashion as you do. I create like some sort of mental barrier where I try to embrace it, but also block it out at the same time to where people around me aren't affected, because I don't want to bring that upon anybody else. But it's really important just to create that barrier. So it's kind of like a safe space to where you feel, I'd say, like self-assured that what you're doing is right and okay.
Do you ever have an experience like Emily? Do you ever deal with anything like this?
Yeah, particularly the suicide training day was really hard because we got like real life examples of mothers who came in telling their story on how their child has committed suicide. And that was like particularly hard because you get to see how these, not only is the person who died by suicide, but their families are deeply affected as well. And you just see like the sorrow within these families. But there is a glimmer of hope through outlets like Teen Talk.
Why don't you want to be a mental health worker? I mean, the investment banking thing is interesting and probably will make you a zillionaire. And I may come asking for a loan someday. But I think, you know, you are getting such a wonderful experience. You're getting an opportunity to be trained. You're getting an opportunity to learn. And you're getting an opportunity, you're on the ground floor of interacting with people in a way that nobody else gets to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure I understand why this might not domino into you wanting to move into that field as opposed to one of these other things you've thought about for so many years. Do you think in some way this could affect your future?
Definitely. Like through the training, I've definitely become 100 times better of a communicator. I've learned to like listen, to truly sit down and listen to what a person has to say and then communicate effectively what they said to me in an appropriate manner.
What did I say at the beginning of this conversation?
That I should maybe go into the mental health?
No, at the beginning of the show.
You might have to refresh my mind.
You have to work on that listening a little
bit. What's black and white and
red all over? Yeah, it was an embarrassing zebra. That's right, I told you a joke. Sophie, what do you take home from this when you deal with some of these issues?
Well, I feel like in the moment, you're not really focused on how like you're feeling. I think you focus more on helping the person that reached out. But after, you know, you always feel like, I hope I helped, you know, like, because you don't know, because they could respond the next day or the next week to one of these texts.
Have you ever been in a situation where you did find out later that something bad happened?
Well, the app is still fairly new, so we haven't really had, I don't think we've had anything really happen after, I think. Yeah.
Do you know? Any of you know? What I'm asking is, have you ever had a situation where you tried to help somebody, you think you might have been able to, but then you find out later that there was a worst case scenario? It didn't work.
So there isn't usually a lot of follow-up on the other end. It's really up to the user to reach out. But we always say that's such a good sign that they're reaching out for help, right? Whatever they're experiencing, they're feeling like either they can't handle it on their own, or if it's suicide, they're feeling ambivalent about it. So that's actually the best sign that we can have. And so we provide them with resources at the end of each conversation that can help support them beyond what maybe their conversation on the app, so they have more long-term support.
I'm wondering if you got this idea sort of all by yourselves, or if you modeled this after something others were doing. Where did this come from?
So, we partnered with Jewish Big Brothers and Big Sisters on this project based on our experiences on our teen-to-teen hotline. So it's very much the same concept.
But who came up with the idea? Let's do an app.
I think we both did. We were talking about sort of...
She's pointing at you.
I think what happened was Jewish Big Brothers Big Sisters was really looking about how we could scale our efforts to mentor more kids and expand our services. And so we were looking for needs in the community. So we met with everyone who we thought were leaders in, you know, mental health, special needs, like different fields. And we were just saying, like, where is there a need? And so when we talked to, I was pointing at you because when we talked to Teen Line and we said, like, in an ideal world, what would you do? And they said, well, we had this conversation with an app developer who has a crowdsourcing app for, you know, advice, but it's not monitored and it's not teens, and it would be really cool to do that. So they definitely, you know, planted the seed, and I think together we realized, wow, this is really something we could both get behind.
So you pioneered this. There's no other city you know of, no other program you're aware of that's doing something like this.
No, there's definitely, you know, there's apps where you can get advice. There's apps that are for teens. Some of these apps you have to pay. Some of them aren't only for teens, and some of them aren't monitored. So this is the first app that combines all of those factors. The teens have training. They are supported by supervisors. We have lots of methods to authenticate that they are teens, and it's being monitored all the time.
I'm sure you network with other agencies across the country. Is this something you're going to share with them and say, you know what, you could be doing this too?
Absolutely. I mean, we're still thinking about our kind of expansion model, but for right now, the app is open to any teen anywhere in the
world. Yeah, that's right. It's global.
It's global.
Yeah.
And anyone can download it, and we want anyone and everyone to download it. You know, it's kind of a little, we have to decide how quickly we can train enough teens to get the volume that we're anticipating. And that's a really good problem. So we're just working out all those logistics as we develop partnerships.
Well, I think it's a remarkable idea. If I say so myself, I mean, I think what you've done is tried to reach out to people in an entirely different way. And given the numbers, it sounds like you're having some level of success.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah. And I think the great thing is not only are teens that we're training are helping teens who really need help, but I think that there's so much growth that goes on just in the teens who are helping others, right? You know, tapping into that natural empathy that they already have and then working on skills such as, like, you know, Zach said, active listening, being able to be a better listener, and taking those skills out into the world with them after they're a teen line.
I don't know how this works in the field of mental health. I mean, I happen to be a person that likes humor, and I like self-effacing humor. That's why this is called What the Hal, because I like having, you know, a little fun with my name, and I like having a little fun with lots of things. I mean, you've seen me a little bit, and you see that I like to have fun and laugh and make people laugh. And I think that's a very important thing. I think, you know, everything can't be so sterile that, you know, it's dry. It doesn't have any personality. It doesn't have any feeling. It doesn't emote. And so I feel like humor is an important thing. And do you find at all that you're able to sort of use other parts of your personalities to be able to engage people, maybe make them laugh a little, maybe deal with them on a very sensitive level, not just follow a script? Emily.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like when you're texting someone, you have to be even more yourself than when you're calling someone because they can hear you. But when I'm texting people, I like to, like, give little smiley faces or, like, ask them when they're, like, open to finding, like, different coping mechanisms that could work for them. And we'll, like, brainstorm about it. And I'll be like, oh, like, what's your favorite thing to do? And then, like, that'll branch out to a lighter topic, which I feel like puts them in a safer place. Because I feel like when I'm being light and funny with someone, I'm in a safer place. So that's what
I It makes it easier to bond.
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you look. Another thing about me is that when I go out on a story, I meet people I never have met before. I meet people that maybe had a victim in their family of a shooting, maybe were lost everything in a fire, maybe had some kind of terrible thing happen, or maybe had something good happen. I find that humor helps me to bond with people much quicker. It's almost like quick drying cement. And it works.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever use humor?
And it depends on the certain situation.
Well, let's go
context.
Back. Let's go back to what Emily says. I said at the beginning of the show, which I didn't really say at the beginning of the show. I said it before the beginning of the show.
Yes.
And it was a joke.
Yes.
And the joke was, what's black and white and red all over? And it's an embarrassed zebra or a newspaper. You can take your pick. Humor. Sophie, do you use it?
I think it depends on the situation. I mean, it can come off like inappropriate if you
use it.
It
can. No question about
yeah.
that.
Yeah. If you use it in like the app setting, I don't know if it's going to come off the way you think it should. But.
excuse me. Fighting a cold. Go ahead.
But.
Can you give me a little humor that might make me feel better?
But I think in a situation like this, I think it works. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, this is serious stuff. And I don't mean to make light of any of it. I gauge things pretty well, and I think when we use humor, I think it's a measured dose, and I think when we apply other emotions, it's also a measured dose.
Yeah. I mean, given my experience with the app, I think every advisor has their own stylistic approach to replying to messages. I mean, I would say I'm a little bit like more bold in my kind of approach where I use like.
Are you bold?
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty.
Give me an example.
So I'm trying to think of something. So, for example, last week there was a girl struggling with her relationship with her guy and kind of really conflicted about like, oh, what should I do? Should I drop him? Should I leave him? Should I listen to my friends? And then I said, honestly, I think time would help your situation a lot. I think you should depend on what your feelings, and I think you should dig deep down and figure out, block what your friends are saying and decide on what you truly feel. Nobody knows yourself better than you.
I think that's true, and maybe that's a good note to end, but I do want to end on one other note. Humor, right?
Yeah.
What is the joke I said? What is the answer? And afterwards, in unison, I want you to say the name of this podcast. You ready? What's black and white and red all over?
A newspaper, a bear zebra.
An embarrassed zebra.
Yeah.
And what's the name of this program all together now?
What the hell?
See y'all later. Again, that app is Teen Talk. You can find it in the app stores that you might happen to go to. And remember, this is a good opportunity to be able to subscribe to What the Hell and to be notified every week of the new episodes. They come out every Sunday. And we have a lot of good ones already recorded and more on the way. See you next time.